Chapter 9. It's Gone. "What a wonderful mystery," Mother Mary Joseph said softly. "Your light shines for all those who need us." "Who are you?" Sister Agnes said in a hushed voice. "Angels?" Annie laughed. "No, we're tourists," she said. Faint voices came from across the dark waters. "Hello? Anyone there?" "Yes," Annie called back from the window. "This way." Jack and Annie worked with Sister Agnes and Mother Mary Joseph for the rest of the night. They all helped storm refugees find their way to the Ursuline Academy. They called out again and again, urging them to come toward the light. Jack and Annie helped people climb through the window. They led them to the auditorium. They gave them shoes and blankets. They were never too tired to lend a hand. Just before dawn, the water started going down. By the first light of morning, Jack saw that the floodwaters had flowed back out to sea, like water draining from a bathtub. The great Galveston hurricane was over. Sunlight streamed in. Morgan's tiny star sparkled in the window. The glass star was just a glass star again. Annie took the necklace down and put it around her neck. "Oh, no," said Jack, looking out the window. Not one building was left standing between the academy and the waterfront. The ground was covered with pools of muddy brown water and mounds of trash. Bells began to ring from the chapel. "A new day is beginning," Mother Mary Joseph said. "Yes," said Annie. "Deadly storms are terrible," said Mother Mary Joseph. "But they always end. Then you start over, and you look at the world a little differently." "Yes," said Jack. He was suddenly so tired he couldn't think straight. "You both must lie down and rest now," said the nun. "You can sleep in my room." "Thanks," said Annie, "but we have to find our parents right away so they'll know we're safe. Please tell Rose, Lily, and Lucas goodbye for us." "Of course," said the nun. "I will." "And thank Rose for taking good care of us," said Jack. "Tell her not to worry. We know how to find our mom and dad." "Are you certain you know where they are?" the nun asked. "Yes, we just have to get back to Avenue L near 25th Street," said Annie. "Is that far from here?" Jack asked Mother Mary Joseph.
"Oh, no, it's very close," she answered. "Only 2 blocks north."
"Thanks," said Annie.
Mother Mary Joseph looked worried.
"Are you positive you can find your parents?" she asked.
"No question about it," Annie said.
"You'll come right back here if you don't find them," the nun said. "Promise?"
"Promise," said Jack and Annie together.
Mother Mary Joseph led Jack and Annie down the stairs to the first level of the building. All the windows were broken, and all the doors had been blown away. The storm water had drained out, leaving muddy puddles on the stone floor. Mother Mary Joseph stopped in the open entranceway.
"Thank you for all your help and for your guiding light," she said.
"Thank you for helping us," said Annie.
"You remind me of a good friend of ours named Morgan."
"Me too," said Jack.
Mother Mary Joseph smiled.
"Be careful, my friends."
She bowed her head and then left them.
"Mother Mary Joseph was the hero Morgan wanted us to learn from," said Annie.
"Right," said Jack.
He quoted from Morgan's rhyme.
"Learn from a hero who's humble and brave, who welcomes the hundreds arriving on waves."
"Look her up in our Texas book," said Annie.
"I'm afraid it's ruined," Jack said. He pulled off his knapsack and took out the Texas book. It was soaking wet. All the pages were stuck together.
"Oh, too bad," said Annie.
Jack put the book back into his knapsack.
"Let's go," he said.
Then he and Annie headed out of the Ursuline Academy. They took each other's hands and began slogging through the mud. As they walked up 25th Street, Jack looked straight ahead. He tried not to think about the destroyed city and the mounds of wreckage. Instead, Jack kept his mind on home, on the Frog Creek Woods, and their house, and their mom and dad. He thought of Morgan Le Fay and Merlin and the magic treehouse. Soon Jack and Annie turned onto Avenue L. All the houses had been torn apart on that street, too. Only a few walls and chimneys remained.
"There's the iron fence," said Annie.
They walked through the open gateway of the fence into the muddy yard. Annie gasped.
"It's gone," she said.
"I know," said Jack. "We were there with Rose when her house was destroyed."
"No, not Rose's house," said Annie. "Our house is gone."
She pointed to the remains of an oak tree.
"That was our tree."
The trunk was split in two. All the upper branches were gone. And so was the magic treehouse.
Chapter 10. Hurricane Heroes.
Jack stared at the bare, broken tree. He couldn't believe it.
"It's gone?"
he said in a whisper.
"Wait," said Annie, "is that it?"
She pointed to a pile of muddy boards jammed against the iron fence.
"Maybe," said Jack, "what's left of it."
He and Annie stepped over to the ruins of the treehouse. The floor was covered with brown mud. The roof was missing. Three of the four walls had caved in. Jack started to lift one of the fallen walls.
"Hold on," said Annie.
She reached under the wall and pulled out their wet Pennsylvania book.
"Oh, no, it's ruined too," said Jack.
"Wait," said Annie. She carefully peeled apart some pages.
"Here's the photo of the Frog Creek Woods."
She showed Jack the smeared page.
"That's all we need. Get in the treehouse."
"Are you crazy?" said Jack.
"Just get in," said Annie.
"There's no inn to get into, Annie," said Jack.
"Fine, then we'll just sit on the floor," said Annie.
Holding the book, Annie sat down on the muddy floor. Jack sat beside her. He'd gotten so used to being wet and grimy that he didn't even think about the mud. Annie pointed at the smeared photo of Frog Creek.
"I wish we could go there," she said.
Nothing happened. Jack put his head in his hands.
"I wish we could go there," Annie shouted.
Jack felt the floor of the treehouse start to move.
"Whoa," he said. He couldn't believe it.
The wind started to blow. The treehouse started to spin.
It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still.
Absolutely still. Tap, tap, tap. A breeze blew through the window of the treehouse. Rain splashed softly against the oak leaves.
"We're home," Annie said.
Jack looked around. As always, no time at all had passed in Frog Creek. Jack and Annie were wearing their own dry, comfortable clothes and shoes again. The canvas knapsack had changed into Jack's backpack. The Pennsylvania book lay on the clean wooden floor. It was in perfect shape.
Best of all, the treehouse had a window again, and four walls and a roof. "I didn't know if the magic in the treehouse could fix the treehouse itself," whispered Jack.
"I was pretty sure it could," said Annie.
"Of course you were," said Jack, smiling. "Come on, let's hurry home."
"Wait, I want to look in the Texas book one more time," said Annie.
"It was ruined by water damage, remember?"
said Jack.
Yep, said Annie.
But I'll bet it's fine now. Jack pulled their Texas book out of his backpack. The book was as good as new.
Yay, Annie said.
You were right, said Jack. He handed her the book. Annie looked in the index.
Here, she said.
She turned to the right page.
Oh, wow, listen to this,
she read aloud.
Mother Mary Joseph was an outstanding hero of the great Galveston hurricane of 1900. When the storm hit the island, she and her community of nuns saved the lives of more than 1,000 storm refugees. Many people of Galveston called her.
Annie gasped and looked at Jack.
You won't believe this, she said.
What? He said.
Listen,
Annie read.
Many people of Galveston called her a shining light.
Oh, man, said Jack, smiling. Annie turned the page and read more.
After the storm, 6,000 to 12,000 people were dead or missing, and 4,000 buildings were destroyed. But the survivors of the Great Galveston Hurricane did not give up. In spite of their suffering, they immediately began rebuilding their homes and their lives.
Rose would say that's what Texans do, said Jack.
She was so proud to live in Texas, said Annie.
She kept reading.
Workers also built a high sea wall to help keep the sea from ever destroying Galveston again. Most amazing of all, they pumped sand from the floor of the Gulf to raise the level of the whole city. Today, Galveston is one of the best-protected cities on the Gulf Coast.
That's really great, said Annie. She put the book on the floor.
I'd like to go there again,
in our time.
Me too, said Jack.
I'd like to meet the great-great-grandchildren of Rose and Lucas, said Annie.
And Lily, said Jack.
Annie smiled.
But first, I'd like to go home and see Mom and Dad.
Yep, said Jack. I'd like that more than anything in the world. Annie took off the star necklace and set it on top of the Texas book. Jack pulled on his backpack and climbed down the rope ladder. Annie followed. As they started through the woods, the rain gradually stopped falling. Streams of misty sunlight slanted through the trees. Birds sang loudly.
Remember what Mother Mary Joseph told us, said Annie. Deadly storms are terrible, but they always end.
Then you start over, said Jack, and you look at the world a little differently.
Yeah, like ordinary things seem more special than before, said Annie.
Like comfortable shoes, said Jack.
Like birds, said Annie.
Like sunlight, said Jack.
Like family and friends, said Annie.
Like family and friends, repeated Jack. Let's hurry.
He and Annie took off running through the Frog Creek woods, heading for home.
This is Mary Pope Osborne. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse Book Number 30, Hurricane Heroes in Texas. This program was directed by Lewis Milgram. Executive producer, Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 2018 by Mary Pope Osborne. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Magic Treehouse, Book Number 31, Warriors in Winter. This is the author, Mary Pope Osborne. Chapter 1, Way of the Eagle.
Wake up, Jack.
Jack opened his eyes. The light was dim outside his window. His sister Annie was standing by his bed.
What's going on? He asked. I heard a weird sound outside, said Annie. And guess what I saw?
What? Said Jack.
An eagle, said Annie. A huge eagle. It was sitting on top of the lamppost in our yard.
No way, said Jack.
Yes, way, said Annie. I'll bet Morgan sent him.
Jack sat up in bed. He threw off his covers.
I'm coming, he said. Hurry, we have to get back home before Mom and Dad get up. Meet you on the porch.
Annie slipped out of the room. Jack climbed out of bed. He changed into his jeans, sweatshirt, and sneakers. He grabbed his backpack. Then he crept downstairs and went out to the front porch. Annie was waiting in the chilly, damp air. Dawn was breaking.
There, she whispered.
She pointed toward the lamppost in front of their house. An eagle was perched on top. He was dark brown, except for a ring of golden brown feathers around his neck. He stared at them with piercing eyes.
Oh, man, that's a golden eagle, whispered Jack.
The eagle spread his wings. He rose into the early morning sky and flew toward the woods.
Follow him, said Jack.
Jack and Annie ran down the porch steps. They crossed their yard and dashed down the sidewalk after the eagle.
There, said Annie, looking up.
She pointed to the bird gliding above the Frog Creek woods. Jack and Annie crossed the street. They hurried between the shadowy trees until they came to the tallest oak.
Whoa, said Jack.
The eagle was perched on the roof of the magic treehouse.
Yay, said Annie. You were right, said Jack.
They climbed up the rope ladder and into the treehouse. Sunlight streamed onto the floor. It shined on two small wooden tablets. Next to the tablets was a scroll.
A message from Morgan, said Annie.
She unrolled the scroll and read,
Len by the Danube, many years ago, find a Roman legion camp dusted with snow. A Roman legion camp? Said Jack. Really? What's a legion? Said Annie. A legion is a unit in the ancient Roman army, said Jack. A legion had almost 6,000 warriors. The whole army had around 150,000 warriors, and...
Okay, got it, said Annie.
And what's the Danube?
It's a river that ran along the border of the Roman Empire, said Jack. That was almost 2,000 years ago.
How do you know all this? Said Annie.
My school project on the Roman army, said Jack. Remember that model of a camp I made? And I had to explain it to my class.
Oh, yeah, I remember, said Annie.
Rome had the best warriors in the world, said Jack. They defended the Roman Empire for over 500 years.
Great, got it, said Annie. There's more here from Morgan.
She read from the scroll again.
You must each keep a journal. Use tablets of wax. With a pen called a stylus, write down the facts.
So that's what this is, said Jack.
He grabbed one of the wooden tablets.
In ancient times, people wrote on these. See, the wood's covered with wax.
He picked up a pointed reed.
And here's the stylus. It's like a pen with no ink.
Hold on, said Annie. Listen to this. Write what you see. Write what you feel. Do what warriors do.
to make your words real.
How do we do what warriors do? Jack said. Roman warriors were the toughest guys on the planet. They had years of training.
Maybe Morgan sent us something to give us magic skills, said Annie, like the baseball caps we wore to be Major League Bat Boys.
They looked in the shadowy corners of the treehouse. Jack saw only the Pennsylvania book that would bring them home.
Nothing here, he said. Morgan didn't even send a research book to help us.
Don't worry, you know a lot from your project, said Annie.
Not enough, said Jack.
Well, maybe Morgan wants us to learn more on our own, said Annie. Last verse.
Give the silver coin to a hero in disguise. He will share with you his wisdom. Be home by moonrise.
What silver coin? Said Annie.
They looked around the treehouse again. Jack spotted a black coin on the floor. It was about the size of a quarter.
Maybe this? He said, picking it up.
That doesn't look like silver, said Annie.
Silver turns dark over time, said Jack. You have to polish it.
Okay, we can do that later. Let's go now, said Annie.
How? Said Jack.
There's no research book to take us to the right place.
Said Annie. I have an idea. I'll just point at Morgan's words.
She touched the rhyme.
I wish we could go to a Roman legion camp on the Danube.
A cry from the eagle pierced the air. The wind started to blow. The treehouse started to spin.
It spun faster and faster.
Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 2 Rider on a Black Horse. The air was cold and bright.
Brr, it feels like winter, said Annie.
Yeah, said Jack, shivering. He could see his breath in the frosty air.
We're wearing Roman clothes. Too bad they're not warmer.
Jack and Annie both wore wool capes with tunics and boots. Instead of a backpack, Jack had a leather pouch attached to a belt. Annie had a belt and pouch, too.
Hey, I'm dressed like a boy, she said. This should be fun.
They looked out the window. Snow covered the ground. Sunlight sparkled on a frozen river.
That must be the Danube, said Jack.
An eagle cried out. Annie leaned out the window and looked to the right.
Our eagle, she said. And that must be our Roman camp.
Jack leaned out the window, too. He saw the eagle gliding toward a cluster of buildings surrounded by a high wooden fence.
Oh, man, it looks like my model, said Jack.
Yep, and it's dusted with snow, just like in Morgan's rhyme, said Annie.
Let's go.
Jack and Annie put their tablets and pens in their leather pouches. Jack dropped the coin into his pouch, too. Then they climbed down the rope ladder. The sunlight on the snow was blindingly bright, but the air was bitter cold. Jack pulled his cape closer. The thick wool was warm and scratchy.
Before we go any farther, maybe we should write something in our journals, he said.
Good idea, said Annie.
They pulled out their writing tools.
Watch, said Jack.
He pressed the pointed reed into the wax and wrote a W.
Got it, said Annie. But we should write small so we can fit everything in.
Jack wrote winter. Then he looked at Annie, writing her own notes.
What are you writing? He asked.
Rider on a black horse, she said.
Where? Jack said, looking around.
Against the sun, said Annie.
Jack shielded his eyes and looked at the bright horizon. A rider on a black horse was trotting over the frozen ground between the river and the camp.
He wore a helmet and a red cape.
Oh, no, thought Jack. Should we climb back into the treehouse?
Hi, Annie called, waving.
The rider raised his hand in greeting. He trotted over to them. His face was mostly hidden by his helmet.
Hail, children. Are you lost?
He asked. Jack was relieved. The man's voice was friendly.
Not lost, said Annie. Actually, we want to visit that army camp.
Have you family there? Asked the warrior.
No, we just want to learn more about the Roman Legion, said Jack. We're keeping journals, said Annie.
She held up her tablet and stylus.
Indeed, said the man. You are the first children I have met who keep journals.
We plan to write what we see and what we feel, said Annie.
Ah, young visiting scholars, said the writer. Have you questions for me?
Yes, said Jack. Why is the army camped here?
Legion Gemina 14 is camped on the Danube to protect Rome's northern border, said the writer, to keep invaders from crossing the river.
Who are the invaders? Asked Annie.
Anyone who wants to take away our freedom, said the writer, and destroy the Roman way of life.
Do you know how we can get inside the camp? Said Jack.
Give the guard the password of the day, the writer said. Mars the Victor.
Like Mars the planet? Asked Annie.
No, like Mars, the Roman god of war, Jack said.
Oh, who's the Roman god of peace? Asked Annie.
Pax is the goddess of peace, said the rider.
His horse pawed the ground.
Pax, I like that, said Annie.
Tell the guard you plan to report on the Legion's hard work, said the rider. Say you are visiting scholars under the command of the Imperial Guard.
Visiting scholars under the command of the Imperial Guard, Jack repeated slowly.
Got it. That sounds really official, he thought.
The rider squinted at the rising sun.
I must return to my station now, he said. Farewell, friends.
The rider turned his horse and galloped toward the camp. Jack and Annie watched him pass through the gateway.
Let's go, said Jack,
and they started walking toward the gate.
He was nice, said Annie. Do you think he was an important officer in the Legion?
No way, said Jack.
He was just an ordinary army guy. He didn't have a plume on his helmet.
And he didn't wear armor covered with medals like a centurion.
Be glad he wasn't a centurion.
Why, what's a centurion? Asked Annie.
Super strict commanders, said Jack. They carry big sticks to whack their own men.
That's mean, said Annie. They should learn to use their words instead.
Jack laughed.
Try telling that to a centurion.
As they drew close to the camp, a guard stepped out of the gatehouse. He wore full battle armor. He carried a spear and a red shield.
Hail, said Annie.
Word of the day, the guard said in a deep voice.
Mars the Victor, Annie answered.
Jack cleared his throat and called out,
We are visiting scholars under the command of the Imperial Guard.
We have come to write about the camp, said Annie.
She held up her tablet and stylus.
We plan to spread the word about the Legion's hard work.
The watchman lowered his spear.
Welcome to Legion Gemina 14, he said. In the reign of Emperor Marcus Aurelius.
Thank you, said Annie.
She and Jack walked proudly past the guard. They passed through the gateway and entered the Roman camp. Chapter 3. Warriors Awake. Annie and Jack stood on the main road. The road passed through the center of the camp.
It was lined with rows of wooden buildings.
"Where is everybody?"
Annie asked. "I don't know," said Jack. "These buildings look like barracks. That's where warriors sleep."
"Oh, so maybe they're still asleep," said Annie.
"No chance," said Jack. "Roman warriors get up before dawn. Maybe they went on a march."
"Where did our guy on the black horse go?" said Annie.
"He disappeared," said Jack, looking around. "I wish we had a research book."
"Don't worry, you know a lot," said Annie.
"Not enough," said Jack.
"Let's explore and see what we can find out," said Annie.
Jack and Annie started down the stone road. They stopped at a flagpole. A red flag was waving in the wind. On the flag was the figure of a ram. Below the ram were two words, Legion Gemina. The words were followed by three capital letters, X-I-V.
"Those letters stand for the number 14, said Jack. "They're called Roman numerals."
"I actually knew that," said Annie. "Our teacher taught us Roman numerals."
"Cool," said Jack.
Then they both made notes about the flag.
"Hey," said Annie, "hear that noise?"
Jack listened. Sounds were coming from the far end of the camp.
"Let's check it out," he said.
Jack and Annie hurried down the road. The sounds grew louder.
"Something's going on outside the walls," said Jack.
Jack and Annie hurried past the rows of barracks until they came to the camp's rear gate.
"Mars the Victor," Annie called to a guard.
The guard waved them on, and they stepped through the gate onto a huge frosty field.
"Oh, man," said Jack. "Warriors, finally," said Annie.
Hundreds of men were training on the field. They all wore armor and helmets. They were running, boxing, wrestling, throwing spears, and shooting arrows at targets. Not far away, a huge man was barking orders at a team of runners. He had a red plume on his helmet and medals on his armor, and he waved a big stick.
"Hey, a centurion," said Annie.
"Yep," Jack said.
"You gave a perfect description," said Annie.
"Double time," the centurion yelled.
The runners ran twice as fast. They were wearing heavy armor with huge packs strapped to their backs.
"Remember how our rhyme says we should do what warriors do?" said Annie.
"Ha," said Jack. "There's no way I can do what those guys are doing."
"Me neither," said Annie. "But let's get closer to them and take some notes."
Their feet crunched over the frozen grass as they headed toward the runners.
"Halt!"
a loud voice thundered. The tall, burly centurion had spotted them. He dropped his stick and pulled out his sword.
"Yikes," said Annie.
"Word of the day,"
the huge man shouted, striding toward them,
loud and clear.
"Mars the Victor,"
Jack shouted. His heart was pounding.
"We're visiting scholars under the command of the Imperial Guard." "We're taking notes on the Legion," said Annie,
holding up her tablet.
"We want to report on your good work."
The centurion studied them. Then he put away his sword. He pointed at the runners.
"Fighters in training," he roared. "Best training in the world. Write it down."
Jack's hand trembled as he took notes.
"What's in their packs?" Annie asked.
"Food, water, bedroll, pans, handmill, spade, axe," the centurion shouted. "Plus 60 pounds of weapons. Best weapons in the world. Write it down."
Jack and Annie took notes.
"Do they train every day?" asked Jack.
"Of course," said the centurion. "And 3 times a month. They march 20 miles with full armor and packs. If one gets out of step, he is punished. If he deserts his comrades, he is slain. Those are the rules," Whoa, thought Jack.
Are there any women soldiers? Asked Annie.
Certainly not, said the centurion. Females have no fighting skills.
You don't know our Aunt Sally, murmured Annie.
Shh, said Jack.
Well, she's a major in the army, said Annie, and she has a black belt in karate.
The centurion didn't seem to hear her. The cavalry trains there, he yelled, pointing across the field. Men on horseback were jumping over log fences. Jack looked for the rider on the black horse.
Best horses in the world, said the centurion. Write it down.
Jack and Annie wrote it down.
What do warriors do when they're not training? Said Annie.
Clean stables, dig ditches, cook meals, the man answered. Repair armor, make weapons, build roads.
I read that Romans make great roads, said Jack.
Best in the world, the man snapped. Write it down.
Jack and Annie wrote it down. Jack could see that Annie was trying not to laugh.
We must prepare now for the royal parade, said the centurion. The emperor arrived from Rome yesterday to review the legion. Good day.
The centurion turned and strode back to his runners.
Scary guy, said Annie.
Typical centurion, said Jack, trying to sound calm. Let's get out of here.
Wait, said Annie. What did you write?
Jack read from his tablet.
Winter, rows of barracks, red flag with ram. Best weapons, best horses, best roads.
Good, Annie said. But the rhyme said, write what you feel. You didn't do that.
Well, what did you write? Said Jack.
I wrote stuff like, rider on black horse friendly, like him. Love the red shields.
Oh, okay, said Jack. He pressed his stylus into his wax tablet. He wrote,
nervous, heart attack, help.
Annie laughed when she read Jack's note.
It's true, my heart's pounding, he said.
Let's go back inside, said Annie. She and Jack left the field and hurried back into the Legion camp. Chapter 4. No Skills. Jack and Annie stopped on the main road.
Okay, we still have to try to do what warriors do, said Annie.
And don't forget the part about the silver coin, said Jack.
Give the silver coin to a hero in disguise, Annie quoted. He will share with you his wisdom. Be home by moonrise.
I wonder who the hero is, said Jack.
What kind of Roman soldier wears a disguise? Asked Annie.
I don't know, said Jack. I told you I don't know enough.
What's that?
Annie pointed to smoke rising from behind some of the barracks.
Let's check it out, said Jack.
Jack and Annie walked down a path between two rows of barracks. The chilly air smelled of wood smoke and fish. Soon they came to warriors working in a cooking area. Wearing simple tunics and capes, some of the men were grilling fish over campfires. Another was removing a loaf of bread from a stone oven. The oven looked like a giant beehive.
Hey, we can do what he's doing, Annie said to Jack. We know how to bake bread.
Yeah, said Jack. But we have an electric oven, and we use flour from the supermarket.
Let's ask him how they do it, said Annie. Hail, she called to the bread baker.
The man looked up, startled.
Mars the Victor, Jack said. We're visiting scholars.
Writing about the legion's good work, said Annie. Are you the cook for the whole camp?
The man laughed.
No, it is my week to do the baking for my squad, he said.
Jack leaned toward Annie. 8 to 10 guys in a squad, he said.
What does your squad eat? Annie asked the warrior.
He recited a list.
Cheese, beans, salted fish,
olives, barley, bread.
How do you make your bread? Jack said.
Each squad grinds its own portion of grain, said the baker.
He pointed to a small hand mill next to the oven.
Cool, said Annie. Can we try?
The man nodded.
There's a bit of grain in it now. Turn the handle to grind it. Flour will come out the spout.
Annie tried to turn the handle, but it wouldn't budge.
You try, she said to Jack.
Jack pushed the handle as hard as he could.
He pushed and pushed. Finally, a spoonful of flour came out of the spout.
Your bread loaf will be the size of an olive, said the baker.
Jack and Annie laughed.
You should ask Ceres for help, so you don't starve, the man said with a smile. He returned to his work.
Who's Ceres? Annie asked as they walked away.
Goddess of grain, said Jack. Ancient Romans had gods and goddesses for everything.
Oh, like in Greek mythology, said Annie.
Right, said Jack. Gods and goddesses for the sun, the sea, storms, sleep, rainbows.
Got it, said Annie. So Ceres is the Roman goddess of grain, she made a note.
There's smoke coming from over there, too, said Jack. Let's go.
They walked down the path to an open workshop.
At a forge, a blacksmith hammered a sword. Other men were making sandals, shields, and wagon wheels.
The craftsmen were working so hard they didn't seem to notice Jack and Annie.
An eagle, whispered Annie.
She pointed to a craftsman, adding gold paint to a carved wooden eagle.
That's the standard of a Roman legion, whispered Jack.
What's a standard? Asked Annie.
It's a symbol that stands for the legion, said Jack. It's a great honor to carry the gold eagle. The person who does it is called the standard bearer.
Cool, said Annie.
Hail, she called to someone behind Jack.
Jack turned to look. The blacksmith was staring at them.
Hail, the man said gruffly.
Maybe he'll let us do what he's doing, Annie said softly. We know how to hammer.
Yeah, anyone can hammer, said Jack.
He and Annie walked over to the blacksmith.
We're visiting scholars, Annie said. We're learning about the Legion. May we try what you're doing?
Without a word, the blacksmith handed her his hammer. It was so heavy, Annie fell to the ground with it. The blacksmith laughed.
Oops, Annie said, getting to her feet. Your turn, she said to Jack.
The hammer was lying on the ground. Jack tried to pick it up. He couldn't lift it higher than his knees.
No can do, he said. We're wimps.
We have no skills, said Annie.
The blacksmith nodded. He took back his hammer.
Pray to Vulcan, he said,
and he went back to work on the sword.
Who's Vulcan? Annie asked Jack.
The Roman god of fire and craftsmen, said Jack. Annie made a note.
Maybe it's time to look for a hero in disguise, she said.
Sure, said Jack, but first, let's check out that building. He pointed to a long building near the back gate.
Maybe warriors are doing something in there that we could try.
Okay, said Annie. Jack and Annie put their writing tools into their pouches. Then they walked down the pathway to the open entrance of the building. They peeked inside.
Oh, man, whispered Jack. The armory.
Chapter 5. Get in line. Winter sunlight shone on metal helmets and jackets. It shone on broad belts, swords, daggers, spears, and red and gold painted shields.
No one's in here, said Annie.
That's weird, said Jack.
Or lucky, said Annie.
She grinned at him.
Finally, we can do what warriors do.
What?
You mean we should try on their armor?
said Jack.
Annie nodded.
Everything will be too big, said Jack.
Who cares, said Annie. No one will see us.
Right, Jack said nervously.
He really wanted to try on the armor. Actually, it might not be too big.
A Roman soldier had to be at least 5 feet 6 inches. That's only 5 inches taller than me and about 8 inches taller than you. So if we...
Got it. Let's do it, said Annie.
Okay, said Jack. Quick, before anyone shows up.
Jack and Annie hurried through the wide entrance of the armory. They pulled off their capes and dropped them on the ground.
Where do we start? Said Annie.
They looked around at shelves lined with body armor and helmets. In the center of the room were weapons and shields on wooden stands.
Upper body armor, said Jack.
He crossed to a shelf with metal jackets. The jackets were made of overlapping strips of iron.
This one looks pretty small.
He lifted the gray metal jacket off the shelf.
Whoa, it's heavy.
Annie held out her arms. Jack helped her slide the armor over her tunic. The jacket reached her knees.
Help, she said, nearly sinking to the floor.
Jack laughed. You look like a cartoon character, he said.
It's crazy heavy, said Annie.
Want to take it off, said Jack.
Not yet, she said. Put yours on.
Jack chose one of the metal jackets for himself and slipped his arms into it. The metal was freezing cold.
Oh, man, how can warriors run or fight in this, said Jack. It weighs a ton.
And they march with really heavy packs on their backs, too, said Annie.
And carry shields, said Jack. Huge shields.
Unbelievable, said Annie. Now helmets, said Jack.
He studied the row of helmets. He picked one for himself and lowered it onto his head.
Oh, man, at least another 15 pounds, he said.
Let me try one, said Annie.
Jack picked a helmet for Annie and lowered it onto her head.
Help, she squeaked. I can hardly see or hear.
Annie's helmet partially covered her eyes, ears, cheeks, and mouth. Jack laughed.
I can hardly see either, he said, but I feel braver wearing this stuff, don't you?
No, said Annie. I'm dying in here.
Her voice was muffled.
Okay, let's take everything off, said Jack.
Suddenly voices and the sound of running feet came from outside.
Full armor, no packs, a man shouted. Emperor's parade begins at high noon.
Yikes, said Annie.
Get out of their way, Jack said in a panic. He pulled Annie into the shadows. Warriors poured into the armory. Jack recognized the cooks and craftsmen among the others.
Mars the Victor, Annie said.
Her voice was muffled inside her helmet.
Quiet,
Jack whispered.
Belts, helmets, shields, someone bellowed.
A stocky centurion stood at the entrance of the armory.
Oh, no, thought Jack, another centurion.
Double time, the man roared.
The warriors moved quickly down the shelves, gathering metal jackets, helmets, and military belts.
Everyone in line now, the centurion shouted.
The warriors grabbed weapons and shields. The armory was filled with loud voices and clanking metal.
We have to get out of here, Jack said to Annie. We can take everything off outside. Let's go.
I can't see, Annie said.
I'll lead you, Jack said.
Jack took Annie's hand, stumbling awkwardly in their heavy armor. They moved with the warriors toward the entrance.
Line up, the centurion bellowed. Single file.
The warriors almost knocked Jack and Annie over as they all spilled out into the bright sunlight.
Chapter 6
Deserters
Jack pulled Annie to the side of the armory.
"We'll stay here till they're gone," he said.
Annie nodded. The warriors were joining a parade line. The line stretched all the way to the main road.
"Prepare to march," the centurion shouted.
A horn sounded, and the warriors started jogging down the path.
"Come on, let's get out of this stuff," Jack said to Annie, "before we get caught."
Jack yanked off his helmet. He unlaced his metal jacket and pulled it off.
"Phew,"
he said. He felt light enough to float through the air.
"Help," said Annie.
Her helmet was off, but she was struggling to get out of her metal jacket.
"Hold on," said Jack.
Jack helped Annie unlace the jacket and take it off.
"There, great," said Annie. "Now we'd better..."
"Deserters,"
someone shouted. Jack and Annie whirled around. In the distance, a centurion was pointing at them.
"Oh, no, he must think we're soldiers trying to escape from the Legion," said Jack.
"Deserters,"
the centurion shouted again.
"Get them."
"Time to go," said Jack. "Run," said Annie.
She and Jack ran in the opposite direction of the centurion and the parade line. They zigzagged between barracks until they came to the main road. At the far end of the road, warriors were lining up at the back gate.
"The front gate," called Jack.
They charged up the main road, heading for the entrance of the camp.
"Halt!"
Jack looked back. Several horsemen were riding toward them.
"Halt!"
the lead horseman shouted again.
"Keep going!" Jack shouted to Annie. "Double time!"
Jack and Annie ran as fast as they could. An arrow whizzed past them.
"Stop!"
Jack shouted to Annie.
"Stop!"
Annie stopped.
"We have to explain," Jack said breathlessly. "Turn around. Put your hands up."
Holding up their hands, Jack and Annie turned to face the horsemen. The leader was a centurion. He wore a crested helmet and a red cape.
"Mars the Victor," Jack yelled. "We're visiting scholars under the Imperial Guard. We come in peace."
"Pax," Annie shouted.
"Pax."
The warriors on horseback circled them. Jack felt very small. The centurion leaned forward.
"What tribe are you from?" he barked.
Frog Creek,"
Jack blurted out.
"Frog Creek,"
the centurion said.
"There is no such tribe."
"Perhaps they came across the river from the north," said another warrior. "They are very small."
"Did you cross the Danube?"
the centurion asked.
Actually, I don't know where Frog Creek is exactly in relation to your camp," said Jack. "But it's possibly,
Who told you the secret word of the day?"
the centurion demanded.
"A rider on a black horse," said Annie.
"Where did you see him?" the man asked.
"Outside the camp," said Annie. "He was alone."
"Our warriors do not ride alone outside the camp. What did he tell you?"
asked the centurion.
"He told us to make notes about the Roman Legion. And that's what we've been doing all day, taking notes," said Jack.
"So a rider on a black horse gave you our secret daily password," the centurion said.
"Yes, sir," said Jack.
"And he told you to write about our camp?" said the centurion.
"Yes," said Jack.
"And you don't know his name?" the centurion said.
"He didn't tell us his name, but he must be here somewhere," said Annie. "He rode into the camp."
"He is here? He rode into our camp?"
the centurion turned to the other horseman.
"An enemy spy is inside our walls," he roared.
"No, not an enemy," said Annie. "Not a spy."
The horsemen ignored her and all began yelling at once.
"He is here, rode into our camp. An enemy spy inside our walls.
"We must stop the parade," the centurion roared. The horsemen stared at their leader. "Zeno, alert Emperor Aurelius." One of the horsemen nodded and galloped off.
"We will take these prisoners to the royal tent," said the centurion. "The emperor will decide their fate."
Chapter 7. Lord Emperor Aurelius.
"March," the centurion ordered.
He pointed toward the back gate. With the centurion leading them and horsemen on either side, Jack and Annie started down the road. The midday sun still shone brightly, but the wind had picked up. Jack shivered from the cold and from fear. He'd read about Roman emperors. Some were ruthless and cruel. Some were truly insane. All of them got rid of their enemies one way or another.
"I wish we could find our guy on the black horse," Jack said in a low voice to Annie, "before they find him."
"I'm sure he wasn't a spy," said Annie.
"Me too," said Jack. "But who was he, and where did he go?"
"Quiet!" yelled a horseman.
The centurion led them through the back gate. They stepped out onto the training field.
"Oh, man," whispered Jack.
On the field, the whole legion stood in parade formation. 6,000 armored warriors were lined up in perfect rows. The warriors were as still as statues. Each held a red and gold shield with his left hand and a spear with his right. Trumpeters stood near the head of the parade. In front of them was a warrior carrying the legion's red flag. In front of him was a man carrying a pole with a statue of a gold eagle on top.
"To the imperial tent," the centurion ordered Jack and Annie.
He pointed to a large red tent on the far side of the field. A cluster of guards stood around the entrance.
"Double time," the centurion said.
As Jack and Annie hurried toward the tent, Jack grew even more scared. Annie seemed scared, too.
"Have you read much about Roman emperors?" she asked Jack.
"A little," said Jack.
"What did you learn?" said Annie.
"They're okay," said Jack. "Don't worry."
"I'm not worried," said Annie. "I know we'll be fine."
"Right," said Jack. Annie never gives up hope, he thought. He liked that.
When they reached the entrance of the tent, the centurion dismounted.
"We have come to see the emperor," he said to the guards. "We have captured 2 spies."
"Yes, your messenger told us," said a guard.
"He is with the emperor now. You may enter."
The guard pulled back the flap of the red tent. The centurion led Jack and Annie inside. It was warm inside the tent. A fire was burning in a small iron stove. Tall candles cast shadows on silk curtains and woven carpets. Statues and maps were everywhere. The messenger, Zeno, stood at attention. Near him, a man sat on a heavy wooden chair set on a platform. He wore a long purple cloak with a gold clasp at the shoulder. His light brown hair and beard were curly. The centurion bowed before the man.
"My lord, Emperor Aurelius," he said.
"Hail, Junius," said the emperor.
"Our camp has been invaded by spies, my lord," said the centurion. "I have captured these 2, and I believe there is a 3rd hiding among us."
"Yes, the messenger you sent has warned me," the emperor said.
He narrowed his eyes and looked at Jack and Annie. His piercing gaze reminded Jack of something. Was it the golden eagle on the lamppost at dawn?
I'm sorry, my lord Aurelius, stammered Jack. "We'd like to explain."
Before Jack could go on, Annie burst out laughing.
"Oh, wow," she said.
"What?" said Jack.
"I can't believe it," said Annie.
She gave the emperor a big grin.
Hail, friend!
Has Annie lost her mind? Jack wondered.
Stop! What's wrong with you?
He whispered.
Don't you get it? She said.
Get what? Said Jack.
It's him, said Annie. He's our guy. The rider on the black horse, he's not a spy. He's the emperor.
Jack stared at the emperor. He couldn't remember what the rider had looked like. Most of his face had been covered by his helmet.
Junius, you and Zeno may leave us now. There is no danger of spies in our camp, the emperor said.
The centurion and the messenger looked confused, but they bowed and left the tent.
The emperor looked at Jack and Annie.
Hail, fellow scholars, he said. Are you lost?
Chapter 8 The Silver Coin.
Jack caught his breath. Emperor Aurelius was their guy. He couldn't believe it.
No, not lost, said Annie, smiling. We were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
The armory, explained Jack.
So I hear, said the emperor.
When I first met you, I thought you must live nearby in Carnuntum. But now I do not think that is so. Where is your home?
Frog Creek, Pennsylvania, said Annie.
Beyond the Danube, said Jack.
Where are your horses? The emperor asked.
We left them, on the other side of the river, said Jack.
Yes, we walked across the ice, said Annie.
But we're definitely not invaders or spies, said Jack quickly. I promise. We wanted to learn about the Roman legion just for our own sake.
I believe you, said the emperor.
When I spoke with you on my ride, I knew you were honest and trustworthy.
Do you ride alone every morning? Asked Annie.
When I can, said the emperor. I like to look closely at the world around me and think my own thoughts.
We like to look at the world, too, said Annie, and write down our thoughts.
And facts, added Jack.
We tried to do that today when we wrote in our journals, said Annie.
Ah, yes, and what did you write? Asked the emperor.
I wrote about the weather, said Annie. I made notes about the Roman gods. I even wrote a poem about two of them.
Really? I should very much like to hear it, said the emperor.
Sure, said Annie. She quoted from memory. The weapons of Mars are heavy to bear, but the peace of Pax is lighter than air.
The emperor nodded.
Lovely, he said. He looked at Jack.
I wrote about the flag and the warrior's training, said Jack, and I wrote about making bread and swords.
Tell him what you wrote about having a heart attack, Annie said, smiling.
Oh, I was a little nervous, said Jack, and I wanted to make my sister laugh.
The emperor nodded. So you both write honestly, with poetry and humor, and you study the world closely.
We try, said Annie.
Those are useful and honorable qualities, said the emperor.
You are simple, brave, and honest.
With training, you could be excellent warriors.
Not me, said Annie. I don't like to fight.
Sometimes one must fight for the right things, said the emperor.
Like what? Said Jack.
Freedom and justice, said the emperor.
Truth.
Are you ever scared? Asked Jack.
Oh, yes, said the emperor. But if I look deep within myself, I often find a hidden source of strength.
That makes sense, said Annie.
If I pretend to be a very brave person, I suddenly find that I am one, said the emperor.
That makes sense, too, said Jack.
I felt brave for a moment when I put on warrior armor. In life, we wear many disguises, said the emperor. I sometimes feel I wear the disguise of a powerful emperor.
Annie gasped.
Disguise, she whispered to Jack. Hero in disguise, silver coin. Oh, man, yes, breathed Jack.
He took out the black coin.
We want to give this to you, he said, handing the coin to the emperor. We think it's made of silver, said Annie.
The emperor looked at the coin. He crossed to a table with jars and poured some liquid onto a cloth. Then he rubbed the coin, polishing it. Soon the silver shone brightly. The emperor held the coin close to a lantern and studied it. He turned to Jack and Annie with a look of amazement.
Where did you get this?
He asked.
We found it in some woods, said Annie. Why? Is there something wrong with it?
Said Jack.
This coin is in honor of me, said the emperor.
Its engraving shows me with my warriors on a frozen river. It looks as if we have had a great victory on the Danube.
You don't remember? Said Jack, confused.
I do not, said the emperor in a hushed voice, because this battle has not yet happened.
Look at the date.
He handed the coin to Jack. Jack and Annie studied the Roman numerals.
It says 173, said Jack.
Indeed it does, said the emperor, but we are now in the year of 172.
Oh, said Annie. Well, that doesn't make sense.
No, unless. The emperor looked at Jack and Annie with his golden eagle gaze. It is a coin from the future.